This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. HBO's new series Westworld is based on a 1973 movie written and directed by the novelist Michael Crichton. Both versions are set in a futuristic Western-themed amusement park where very wealthy adults indulge their fantasies on the startlingly human-like, responsive robot hosts which populate the park. No surprise, things take a bad turn.
Do you know where you are?
I'm in a dream.
Have you ever questioned the nature of your reality?
No.
You and everyone you know were built to gratify the desires of the people who pay to visit your world. What if I told you that you can't hurt the newcomers?
Don't you touch her!
And that they can do anything they want to you.
That's just a little clip from Westworld. The show's slick design and visuals get high praise from audiences and critics and beg the question, in the age of 3D printing and advanced artificial intelligence, are the cutting-edge host robots from Westworld just around the bend? Lux Alptrom is a writer, consultant, and sex educator who looked into that very question for Motherboard. And Lux, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat robots.
We're going to do our best to avoid spoilers. But how about just starting with a little bit of a description of the Westworld hosts? You know, how lifelike are they?
So the Westworld hosts are extremely lifelike. I mean, not surprisingly, they're played by human actors, so they look like human beings. But even beyond that superficial resemblance to real people, they're able to bleed, they're able to eat, they respond to injury in the same way that we would. Like, there have been episodes where you see a host get beat up and be bruised and then heal. They also are able to convincingly have a conversation like a human. What's interesting with Westworld is that they talk a lot about these hosts being part of pre-programmed storylines and they're following paths, but within that world, any guest can come in and completely derail a storyline. I might go in and decide I'm going to kill off a character, and the hosts then have to adapt.
So they respond, they bleed when cut, they appear to emote, they adapt. Any of these aspects close to our current ability to produce human-like androids?
Unfortunately, not so close. Or fortunately,
depending on
your perspective. It's funny, I went into this and I was like, well, we're probably fairly close on some of it. And my initial thought when I started researching this was, well, probably the body exterior stuff, that's probably a little bit further away, but the AI stuff, we're probably pretty close on that. And while we're not really close on any of it, it's actually the reverse. We are closer on the exterior and kind of the simulation of a human body than we are on the simulation of a human mind.
Yeah, so you spoke to somebody who is actually working on growing skin.
Yes, yeah, so I spoke to this fantastic artist, Amy Carl. She has this art project, Regenerative Reliquary, where she has a bioprinted scaffold that's in the shape of a hand, and she embedded stem cells in it. And the idea of that project is over the course of 2 years, those stem cells will eventually grow into all of the different types of cells that are in a human hand. So that's actually really, really cool. And she told me a lot about science that's being done and research that's being done on growing skin. And that's something that she personally is familiar with because in addition to the artwork that she's done, she also just personally has had a lot of skin grafts over her life. Well. And what she told me was that skin grafts and growing skin, actually not that hard. We're pretty good at artificially creating skin from collagen, at just growing skin, potentially growing artificial skin that is a blend of synthetic fibers and organic fibers. But the problem is that, you know, you can grow a huge sheet of skin, but if you just kind of put it on a metal frame, it's going to die. Because in order to keep skin and any other human cell alive, you need a whole system that's going to pump blood and nutrients into it and keep the cells regenerating. Like, building them once, that's one thing. And if you're then grafting it onto an existing human body, it's going to become a part of this existing system. But creating that system from scratch is actually fairly complicated. And when you start to think about the level of complexity that we see on Westworld, where it's not just, again, skin on a metal frame, but you know, skin with a whole system of blood so that these robots can bleed, so that they, again, can get injured in a convincingly human fashion and bruise and get black eyes. And then they're able to eat and they're able to do all of these things. Presumably, they still have similar lubrication systems to us. Like, their eyes are going to be lubricating the way human eyes are. I'm sure they have to produce some kind of saliva. And while it might be possible to do a kind of bio and technology hybrid to create that, probably what you're going to see, what it seems like in the show, is that really it's more they've just recreated a human body and then grafted it onto a metal frame, which is really, really challenging. And, you know, there's certain systems you can absolutely leave out, but it's like a tapestry. If you start pulling at the different threads, you might have unexpected fallout. And to get a whole integrated system that's working and convincingly looks like a biological life form requires a level of information and understanding of the human body that we don't have yet.
How about the artificial intelligence component? Are we anywhere close to seeing robots that can think for themselves, build upon that knowledge, and even develop unique personalities?
So again, as I said, I thought when I was going into this that that would be the part that we would be closest to. Because when you think about it, it seems like, oh, well, you know, I can talk to Siri and there's Alexa. And obviously, if we have all these robotic assistants, getting the technology or getting this technology that just living in a box, not in a human body, that seems relatively easy. But that's actually like a common fallacy that you see in AI. The researcher I spoke with, Kate Compton, told me about AI summers and AI winters. And we're currently, according to her, in about the fourth AI summer. In an AI summer, everything seems really, really promising. There's all this investment capital going into AI. Everyone's really excited. They're convinced we're about to overcome all these challenges. And then eventually they hit a roadblock and the funding dries up and you go into an AI winter. So this has happened multiple times. And one of the biggest stumbling blocks is what she referred to as a strong AI problem. And the way she explained that to me was that if I go to a grocery store and I see someone I know, that seems like a pretty simple interaction. Like, oh, I'm just going to say hi to them. And it seems like, on the surface, that's not hard. I just program a robot to say hi to someone in the grocery store. But when you start to think about it a little deeper, there's so many different layers. Am I angry at this person? Is this someone I know well? Is this someone I don't know that well? Is this someone I haven't seen in a few months? Is this someone I see every day? Is this someone who owes me a favor? There's so many different levels of social interaction. And integrating that complexity into an artificial intelligence is really, really challenging. There's all sorts of nuance. Maybe I see that person in the grocery store and I can tell from their face that they're having a bad day and they don't want to talk to me. Like, how do you program that kind of nuanced understanding of human interaction?
Lux Alpdrom is with us. She's a writer and a consultant, and she's also a sex educator who, inspired in part by Westworld, the HBO series, started looking into how far along we are into creating very human-like androids, which populate the series. Well, that, I guess, is why it's fiction. You know, there's no underlying system yet for creating and feeding skin. There's no ability to interpret or exhibit nuanced social cues. But how about that idea of the funding, the AI winter, that seeing robots like this, seeing even in fiction, inspires us and pushes us forward and maybe even pushes science and funding towards discovering and creating something like these robots?
So I think there's definitely a history of science fiction inspiring science fact. Like, if you look at the technology that was in Star Trek, for instance, versus the technology that we have now, there's obviously some influence there. Like, there's the communicators in the early Star Trek definitely were very similar to modern cell phones. Or there's just a lot of times where people see it and they want to make it real and they pursue it. We still don't have hoverboards that are really hoverboards, but you have people trying to get hoverboards. And I definitely think to some extent we will see a West potential for a Westworld effect, but maybe not in quite as direct a way as we've seen with other forms of technology. Because I think one thing that really needs to be considered when we talk about super realistic, super lifelike robots is, why do we want them? And I've had a lot of conversations about this over the years. There was a book a few years ago by Dr. David Levy called Love and Sex with Robots that was just really taking for granted this idea that in a few decades, we'll be having romantic relationships with robots. And I found that very strange, and I find a lot of this assumption that absolutely we're going to have really human-like robots as a guarantee very, very strange, because as we've noted, it takes a lot of money to fund the research on all of this stuff, and you kind of have to have a consumer demand for what's very likely going to be a very expensive product. And when you start to piece together like the path we would have to go down to achieve this end goal, to me it starts to seem not particularly feasible. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to see some scientific advances that are inspired by Westworld that are really awesome and really important. I mean, one of the things that came up in my conversation with Amy Carl is that the technology that would be needed to create an organic exterior is also technology that could be applied to, say, regenerating a finger. If you lose part of a finger, maybe we could grow you a new one. Or if you have some other kind of injury, maybe we can help you heal faster. And I think research towards a Westworld type robot could certainly come in handy for those kinds of things. And I think those applications would be far more useful than just creating more human-like creatures when we already have a lot of humans.
So if it were possible and you had a whole lot of money, is Westworld a place that you would like to visit?
So I'm torn on that. I mean, there's part of me that is very, very curious about what it would be like. And part of the thesis of the show is that being in this world where there are no consequences to your actions teaches you who you really are. And there is a part of me that's like, ooh, would I go to this theme park and would I kill people and would I do terrible things because they're not really people? But there's also part of me that's not even interested in that exploration, and it's not necessarily convinced that the really grim view of humanity that Westworld posits is actually true. I mean, I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, people love violent video games and people love this and people love that. But I think we do have this barrier where if something is truly human-like, even if we know it's not human, we're probably not going to get that much joy out of causing it pain and causing it suffering. When you look at kind of the history of war, people have to really dehumanize and really detach from their enemies before they're actually able to just... There's a reason why we're switching to drone warfare, because it's much easier to get people to pull the trigger when they don't have to see the face or don't have to deal with their enemies' humanity. So this idea that we're going to make really, really lifelike robots and rich people are going to go kill them for their vacation, I think it's an interesting fantasy. It's an interesting topic to explore, but maybe I'm a little too optimistic about humanity to think that most of us actually would find that it's not what we want to do with our vacation time.
Lux Alptrom, writer and sex educator, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
You'll find a link to read her article for Motherboard, How Long Before We Can Build Westworld Host Robots for Real. The link is at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.